You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I'm joined now by dancer and choreographer Crystal S. Lowe. Crystal, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, you're working on a project at the moment called Remarkable Rhythm, and you're looking for input from the visually impaired community. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. I've created this show based on my son, who just has a completely his own way of communicating with the world around him, and he's obsessed with music and he loves to sing. And so just kind of watching him explore the world, I've created this show that's about communication and love for music. And so for me, in all of my work, it's important that I reach the broadest range of audiences possible. And so my idea for this show is that it'd be a two-person show, and one of the characters is called Glass, and he narrates the entire show in an audio description. And so it'll be integrated into the work, the audio description of the work. And so it'll kind of be like this character's internal monologue throughout the whole show, what he's experiencing, what he's seeing. And he's kind of trying to understand it, so talking to it through himself. And so we see that. And then the main character, Rhythm, for me, it was important that this character be someone who communicates through different means of communication. And so they are a BSL user who also speaks and loves music as well, and an incredible dancer. And so that's Rhythm and Glass. And so it's kind of that idea of rhythm and blues to kind of mimic R&B music. I'm really excited to see how these characters come together and explore different ways of communication that don't rely on the existing dominancies, kind of saying that if you don't use spoken language, then you have to, you know, change who you are. But actually, how do we negotiate communication between all people that we interact with?
And is this the first time you've worked with the visually impaired community on dance projects?
No, this isn't the first time. I moved to Wales in 2012, and I danced for nearly 9 years with Ballet Cymru. I'm now an associate artist with the company. And through their work, they for all of their shows, they bring in an audio describer. And so I've worked within audio description, but definitely had touch tours where before the show, visually impaired audiences, and not just visually impaired audiences, anyone who would benefit from a touch tour. And, you know, we kind of put our costumes on and we come out before the show starts, and people kind of can touch and explore what the costumes are like, so that when they go back to their seats and they're at a greater distance, or when the audio description is being heard, they're able to have a better understanding of what that is. So I've done that with Ballet Cymru, as well as just worked with visually impaired professional dancers on different work we've done, site-specific work where I've had a visually impaired partner, and we work together, again, to negotiate what we were going to do, what was best for us. So this is my first time, but I'm still at the kind of early starts to doing more and more work in this way.
And you're still working on your next project, which is the Remarkable Rhythm project, and you're looking for an audio description consultant with experience of a visual impairment. What sort of work do you think they'll be doing on that project?
So I want to make sure that it's really led by that person, and so that it doesn't feel like they're coming into a really prescribed space. But actually, so we'll definitely meet before the project begins, before we're in the studio space, to discuss how they want to go about the process of it, so that it doesn't feel like they're kind of being pushed around and they don't know what to expect of it. And so we'll meet before, we'll just discuss how they want to go about the process. But for me, it's really essential that rehearsal space isn't a tense space. It isn't pressured, but it's really laid back. And so they'll come into the rehearsal room with us throughout the 2 weeks of the development process, and they'll just sit and they'll explore what they, you know, what do they want to hear from it. I don't want it to be kind of really clinical description of the show. I want it to be vibrant and fluid and exciting and engaging, so that it's not like visually impaired audiences are missing anything. They have their own version of the show that they're engaging with, just the same value as the visual aspects of the show, just in a different medium. So they'll come into the space, they'll be there. It's kind of like 9:30 to 4 p.m. each day. And there's just flexibility around that too. If they actually have caring responsibilities and they need to leave sooner, then we can make shorter days. And it'll really be crafted collaboratively.
And do you need any experience in dance or in theatre to take part in the project?
No, definitely not. And in one sense, it's quite interesting to see how someone who doesn't have experience would want to hear the work, because the work is being created for everyday audiences, everyday people, not people already in the arts and you know, theater sector is created for people who just live their lives. And so realistically, it'd be even more valuable to get someone who isn't in the industry to give me their feedback, to say, actually, this is what I want to hear, or this doesn't make sense to me because it's too specific to the industry. And so actually, that'd be really valuable. And in general, in all of my work, it's really essential that I'm constantly seeking to address the marginalization of communities of people. And so I recognize that there's a reason why there aren't more visually impaired artists in the arts sector. And so this could be a really great transition for people who are really interested in getting into the arts but don't know how to make that shift over. And then the more they're seen working in different aspects, then I can refer them to another person, and they could build in that way. So it'd be great to get someone who maybe has no desire to continue this work, or someone who does, and this is the way in.
And you mentioned marginalization, and what role do you think dance can play in that and in expressing some of those themes that you're interested in?
In all of my work, I was a ballet dancer for 8 years, and I'm still a ballet dancer. But, you know, there's that mixture of what it was originally created for, and that is quite structured and strict, and what we open up to. And I was really lucky that in my work with Ballet Kimry, they were constantly just challenging what we allow to be the norm in the arts sector. And sadly, there's still so many things that are allowed, so much discrimination that's still allowed, because it's what we've always done. It's the tradition. And so I feel like dance is such an expressive art form, and the movement of it is so expressive that it can communicate quite a lot without having to say anything. And then when we mix that with the audio description that's saying, this is what I'm seeing, and not this is what the steps are, but this is what I'm experiencing of the steps, then actually I think it has a really great way of, I mean, every person is a dancer. Every person is a mover. You know, all movement is dance. And so I think in that way, it's very accessible. And I think it's time that we start to stop, you know, creating barriers where there are none.
And how can people get in touch if they think they might be a good fit for the role?
Well, you can definitely contact me by email, crystalslow.contact@gmail.com. But also I'm on social media, if somehow that's easier, just @crystalslow on Instagram and Twitter, and crystalslow on Facebook as well. So it's always the same thing. And even if you just Google crystalslow, my website has a contact page as well. And just get in touch. Say, I want to apply, but I've never done this before, and I'll help you through it. You know, I want to know what your values are. I want to know what matters to you. What, you know, what's your purpose in the world? That's what's first important. So I want to meet people who have values, definitely.
And when it's all finished, when do you think the performance will be ready to share with the public?
So we're going to do a sharing in June, actually, to share with the public. And it'd be great to get members of the visually impaired community there. I mean, especially young children, to experience it and say, actually, this is what worked. This is what didn't. This part was boring. And so we're going to do kind of an informal sharing in June, on the third week of the research and development period, so that we can have audiences explore it and say, and then give their feedback through creative ways. So they don't have to just be interviewed, but maybe they draw, maybe they talk to us about it, you know, whatever that is, that the audiences give their feedback. And then next year, we'll do a full rehearsal period using all the audience feedback and everything that we're doing in this development period, and then tour Wales in July and August of 2023.
Fantastic. Well, Crystal Eslow, writer and director of Remarkable Rhythm, we wish you the very best of the project, and thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.